down the mountain, the river flows, and it brings refreshing wherever it goes. Through the valleys and over the fields, the river is rushing and the river is here. The river of God sets our feet a-dancing. The river of God fills our hearts with cheer.
Friends, how lovely that you can join us in worship today for this third Sunday in Lent. How is your Lenten journey going? Are you involved in some practice or another? We'd love to hear about it. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. Why do we chase after things that in the grand scheme of things have no substance, no meaning? Let us return to the Lord. Our obsession with stuff distracts from our journey with Christ. Let us return to the Lord. The Lord offers us life, abundant life, fulfilling life, eternal life. Let us return to the Lord and worship Him together. And as we enter into worship today, let's light the Christ candle. As we pray together today, let us expect and experience the presence of our Lord. Please pray with me. Most holy God, we rejoice in our awareness of your presence. As you enter our lives, refresh and renew us. Grant that we may live with love, in the example of Jesus the Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, through whom we pray. Amen. Friends, God's mercies are new every morning. Let us come to a time of confession in confidence and humility. God of grace, we confess that we have elevated the things of this world above you. We have made idols of possessions and people, and used your name for causes that are not consistent with you and your purposes. We have permitted our schedules to come first and have not taken the time to worship you. We have not always honored those who guided us in life. We have participated in systems that take life instead of give it. We have yearned for and sometimes taken that which is not ours, and we have misrepresented others' intentions. Forgive us, O God, for the many ways we fall short of your glory. Help us to learn to live together according to your ways through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We've asked for God's forgiveness, and God's response is yes. This is how God showers us, completely showers us with his grace. Hard to understand, impossible to measure, and completely undeserved, yet given freely by our God. It is a gift. Treasure it. We are a forgiven people. Wherever you are, if you're able, please share the peace of Christ with your neighbor, your friends, whoever is watching with you, in a way that's appropriate for them and for you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning. The scripture reading today is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 to 9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, friends. As we journey through the season of Lent, a time of reflection and spiritual renewal, we're invited to consider what it means to respond to God's call. In our passage this morning that Beth read from the book of Isaiah, we find a powerful invitation from God. It's an invitation to receive abundant life and to seek renewal, to know a God who is always ready to meet us, even in our most desolate places. Reverend Diane and I have been using themes contained in a Lenten series by an author and theologian called Kate Bowler. I found her themes timely and inspiring. For me, they speak a little bit outside the box of what I think of as Lenten practice. Lenten practice, which back in the day meant giving up penny candy as a child, not eating ice cream for 5 tortured weeks, or just being very solemn and grave. In addition to Kent Bowler's work, I've been inspired by a preaching workshop that was led by Reverend Diane and Reverend Phil. My goodness, those two are a rich resource. They used humor and humility and much love as they journeyed with our small group discerning God's call to preach. I've also learned a few things that I might call unexpected hot tips. For example, when I'm preaching and Reverend Phil is in attendance, if he slumps forward and holds his head, he's not dying, nor is he appalled at what I said. He's just concentrating and getting comfortable. Whew! Body language sometimes needs a reassuring explanation. Well, our scripture for today comes from Isaiah 55. We're well into Isaiah. And what we find is this beautiful, poetic passage that calls us to turn towards God's generosity. This text is spectacular in its verse, in its message, and in its promise. It's a passage that invites us to experience God's grace to the fullest sense, and it's particularly timely as we reflect on our journey through Lent. Now the context part. Isaiah lived in the 8th century before Christ, a time when Israel and Judah were divided into these two kingdoms. Isaiah's prophecy comes from a time of profound political and social upheaval in ancient Judah. It is a difficult time. The Assyrian Empire was a looming threat, and the people of Israel were facing uncertainty and dealing with the reality of exile. God's people were struggling with questions of identity, of faith, of survival. Isaiah's words were addressed to a people who had lost their way and were at the mercy of a larger political power. Much like we can feel vulnerable today, does this description of the life and times of Isaiah resonate with what we face today? Perhaps part of it. Isaiah himself was called by God in this dramatic vision in which he sees God sitting on a throne surrounded by seraphim who are calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." It's a scene of awe, of majesty. And Isaiah, who felt unworthy, stands in God's presence in his vision. Yet God doesn't back away. God cleanses him with a coal from the altar, sending him a message to speak to a rebellious nation. Make no mistake, Isaiah was chosen not because he was perfect or powerful. Instead, it was because God, in God's grace, saw something in Isaiah, a voice that could speak to a nation on the brink of destruction, a prophet who could speak for God. And speak he does. Isaiah starts with God's invitation in verses 1 and 2 of the reading today. Come, buy, and eat. Here is that verse. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, that you and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. come buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's an invitation that stretches beyond material, beyond the everyday concerns that dominate our lives. It's an invitation to something deeper, something more life-giving. This invitation from God is one of free, abundant grace. The things we truly need cannot be bought, yet we are invited to partake freely. In the middle part of Lent, we often focus on what we're giving up, our fasts, our sacrifices. But Isaiah calls us to reframe our thinking. It's not about what we give up, but about what we're invited to receive. Not what we are giving up, but what God wants to give us. And what are those things? The waters of life, the wine of joy, the milk of nourishment. All of these are offered freely, with no price, for they come from the grace and the abundance of God. Imagine we're invited to receive the gifts of life, joy, and nourishment. This is a reminder for us. As Lent challenges us to face our own limitations, that the life God offers is not something we can earn or purchase. It's not transactional. It's a gift given to us in love. And guess what? It's not available from Amazon.ca. Following the invitation, God asks the question, what do we pursue in verse 2? Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? This question strikes right at the heart of our desires. How often do we chase after things that promise satisfaction, success maybe, wealth, status, possessions, only to find that they do not nourish us? In our consumer-driven world, I can get caught up in the belief that more is better, that I need to acquire more in order to feel complete. We're often bombarded with advertisements and messages telling us that happiness and fulfillment come from buying this or achieving that. But the truth, Isaiah reminds us, is that these things never satisfy the deep longing of our hearts. In this passage, God invites us to stop and ask, are we spending our lives chasing after what does not nourish our souls? Are we working tirelessly for things that ultimately just leave us empty? Kate Bowler, in her Reflections on the Third Week of Lent, writes about the tension we often face between the fleeting things we pursue and the deeper truths we long for. She invites us, in her writings, to slow down, to ask ourselves the difficult questions, and to consider what truly fills us up. Lent is a time to sort of refocus, to realign our priorities and to make room for things that truly satisfy, things that come from God alone. Next part of the passage, Isaiah urges us to seek God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I love that, while he is near. Seeking God is not a passive act. And seeking God is not always easy. Seeking God requires at least three things: intention, time, and focus. I don't know about you, but for me, being intentional, finding time, and staying focused is very, very hard. There are always competing noises and things I've got to do, places I've got to be, interruptions, the phone. Recognizing that God is always near and always ready to respond is what can help us in seeking God, turning our hearts and our minds toward God. For me, it does actually require turning off my phone, switching off the radio, and the business in my head harder to switch off. It's hard work. We are called to repentance, to forsake our own ways, and to return to God who will abundantly pardon. God's mercy is vast, more than we can imagine. In our failures, in our brokenness, we're invited to come to God who offers grace and renewal. We just did that in the prayer of forgiveness and in the pardon. So, friends, indeed, Lent is a time for repentance, but not as a form of guilt or shame, but as an invitation to return to God, to turn in God's direction, to seek God, to listen, to experience God's mercy and love. It's also a time to receive the abundant pardon that God freely offers and washes us in. Friends, this is a word of hope. God doesn't just ask for superficial change, but for a radical turning towards his ways. The invitation to abundant grace comes with the possibility of transformation, turning away from what no longer serves us, what brings only harm, and turning towards the fullness of God's love and mercy. It's an intentional, directional change, turning toward God. Finally, Isaiah reminds us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Wow, this speaks to the vast difference between human understanding and God's understanding. Many of you know I'm a scientist. For me, learning how the world works, how cells differentiate, how species thrive, how plants display color, and why, all matters to me. Yet, I get that we as humans are limited in our understanding and perspective. I don't get that space is infinite when everything in my world is finite. I get that the stripes on a zebra are made up of white and black hairs, but I don't get how the line that defines each stripe is so distinct and reproduced so exactly in each member of a subspecies of zebra. And socially, we often think in terms of scarcity, competition, division, while God sees in terms of grace, abundance, reconciliation, and unity. Clearly, the ways of God are not bound by our human limitations or understandings. God's ways are higher, they are broader, and they are filled with wonder. They're also filled with mercy. Kate Bowler speaks about how we tend to approach faith sometimes with the assumption that life should be predictable or fair. I gotta say, that sounds very like me. I like order. I like to know why. We assume that if we do the right things, good things will happen. And if bad things happen, we must have done something wrong. Bowler suggests that we must kind of reframe our understanding of God's grace, particularly in the midst of suffering and uncertainty. For Bowler, God's grace isn't about making everything fair or predictable. It's about God's love and mercy coming to us in our brokenness and our vulnerability. There's a concept I need to take on. The ways of God are beyond our comprehension, even for a scientist. But we can count on this fact. God's ways are always marked by grace, mercy, and love. Grace, mercy, and love. When we feel disoriented or lost during Lent, when the journey feels just way too long, and when we struggle with our own limitations, friends, it's important to remember that God is at work in ways we may not see. God's plans are not thwarted by our human frailty, and God's grace is more than enough, always more than enough. That's hard to get through my head. I can get stuck in places of disappointment and despair and confusion. How about you? Yet God's ways are higher than mine or yours. What I may see is a complete blowout, a huge loss, a failure, or a setback, God can use for renewal and transformation. I've experienced this. God's ways are not our ways. God's grace is often found not in the places we expect it, but in the most unexpected of circumstances. Where does this passage from Isaiah leave me, leave us? For me, it is an inspiring call to hope and trust. This season of Lent is a time for reawakening to the abundant invitation God offers us. It's a time to reconsider our worldly pursuits, to seek God while God is near, and to trust that God's ways, though mysterious, lead to life. In the words of Isaiah, we are invited to partake of the waters of life, to be nourished by God's grace, and to embrace a future that is filled with joy and hope, no matter where we find ourselves today. So, as we continue this Lenten journey, may we hear this invitation to come and eat, to receive what is good, and to trust in the abundant love of God, a love that always exceeds our expectations and always calls us to something more. As we continue our Lenten journey, let's shift our expectations and embrace a faith that recognizes, that sees God's grace, not as something earned, but as something freely offered, even in the most unexpected places. And finally, as we continue our Lenten journey, let's accept the grace that calls us to turn toward God, to allow our lives to be transformed, and let's share that abundant grace with others. Amen.
Friends, as we pray together today, I invite you to join me by praying responsively. When I pray, hear us, if you would respond and help us on our journey. So hear us and help us on our journey. Let's pray. God of Abraham and Nicodemus, God of all of us who think we are too old or too poor, or too small, or too weak, or too busy. God of all of us daunted by the sheer wonder of the plan you lay out before us. We come to you now, aware of all you have done for us, and yet still at times struggling with our own doubts. Hear us and help us on our journey. God of Abraham and Nicodemus, we pray for this world, where so many people wander homeless, not by choice, but out of necessity, where so many are looking for milk and honey, or a great name to rescue them. We pray for all the people in this world, especially those whose lives have been destroyed by war. We pray for the women and the men who lay down their lives, for the safety of brothers and sisters and neighbors. We pray for those who lead us in all levels of government, here in Canada and around the world. Hear us and help us on our journey. God of Abraham and Nicodemus, we pray for all those who long for a new beginning, for those who are imprisoned, for those who are estranged, for those who are ill or infirm, and for those who are grieving. Give them all comfort and encouragement to carry on by the power of your Spirit. Help us to see how we can be present and love them well as your hands and feet and heart. Hear us and help us on our journey. God of Abraham and Nicodemus, we pray for your holy church. Give us the courage to leave everything behind and follow you. Give us the faith to act on what we do not understand. Bless us so that we might truly live into your call for us to be a blessing to everyone in your name. Hear us and help us on our journey. Birth us all anew, O God. Help us to grow up again, not just to know earthly things, but to learn to discern heavenly things, to lift up your Son and to be lifted up ourselves, and to let your Spirit move us beyond our understanding. God of Abraham and Nicodemus and all of us, be with us, leading and guiding and loving us, all for the sake of your dear Son who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Your gifts to the mission and work of God here at St. Stephen's are gratefully received. Thank you. I ask you to pray with me now the offertory prayer, offering all that's been given this week back to God for the building of his kingdom. Let us pray. As we offer our gifts and lives in this moment, may we become imitators of you, gracious God, who holds nothing back from us, but is generous and gracious with all that is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, I have an announcement and an announcement. The first announcement, I'm sure most of you already have heard, that I have decided that it's time for me to retire this year. So I will be doing that in August, partway through the summer. And because of that, the congregation is in the process of doing the work they need to do in order to find their next minister. And part of that work is going to involve a congregational meeting that needs to happen on April the 6th. So that's two Sundays from now. It will be an in-person meeting here, so we will gather on that Sunday for one in-person service, a combined service at 10 a.m., and then we will have a congregational meeting after that for the congregation to approve the documents that need to be in place in order for us to start the search for the new minister. So that involves a community of faith profile, a document that basically describes who we are to prospective ministers, a job description, and a financial summary. So those have to be approved in our polity by the congregation. So we need to gather to do that. So this is your first Sunday's notice on that. You'll get another one next Sunday. And then on April 6th, we will gather. If you are local, I really, really encourage you to try to come to that meeting, because the decisions made as we go through this process are very much going to affect the day-to-day life at St. Stephen's for you all. So I hope we'll see you there.
Friends, as you leave this place today, leave with joy and hope. I invite you to listen to the call of Isaiah once more. Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come and receive the richness of God's grace and allow it to transform your life. And please, please share the grace you receive with others. Amen.
Compassion, a love that's never failing.